Like for you to turn the New Testament to the book of Matthew. The first book of the New Testament, book of Matthew. Chapter 14. I had some people ask me, can we get your stuff online? Yes, you can. Just go to the website samchand.com. Just my name. Samchand.com and all my propaganda. All the good things about me are over there. I wrote the website, so it ought to be good about me. You know, other people, what they say about that is another thing, but that's, so you can get all the material out there. Matthew chapter 5. Sorry, chapter 14. Chapter 14. Chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. In the Old Testament, there's a trio of people known as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Abraham and Isaac, I cannot identify with because they are holy, they are pure, they love God, God calls them our friend, Isaac has a child of promise, but the third person in the Trinity, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Jacob is my man. Jacob is always in trouble. Jacob is always opening mouth, inserting foot. Jacob is always in trouble. Now, I don't know about Abraham and Isaac, but I love Jacob. Jacob is my man. In the New Testament, there's another trio known as Peter, James, and John. Now, James and John are people that just, you know, love Jesus. Even their mama is there saying when they get to heaven, you'll make sure that one will sit on your right side, the other on your left. I mean, she was that sure that she was getting seating for them. But then there's Peter. Peter is just another guy altogether. I mean, and Peter's always in trouble, is it not? I mean, Peter, Jesus is always behind Peter, you know, picking up his stuff. You get the picture, right? One day Jesus got so ticked off at Peter, he called him the devil. One day said to him, when you are saved, come and follow me. So Peter was always in trouble. Now, James and John, I cannot identify with, but Peter, he my man. Because Peter is one of those people that I can totally identify with. But there's one story about Peter that we use, especially as preachers, to beat him up. This evening, I came to take up for Peter and myself. In Matthew chapter 14, there's that favorite story, beginning verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the disciples, the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch, which would be about 3 o'clock in the morning of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus said unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come on. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. A few months ago, I was coming back from Australia, and those of you who made this trip, you know that. We got on the plane in Sydney, Australia, and it's a non-stop flight to Los Angeles, LAX. And as we got on the flight, the captain came on board, and he said, just make yourself comfortable. We got a long flight, about a 14-hour flight. And you just need to know that we have been told that about 2.5 or 3 hours into the flight, we're going to run into some storms. But don't worry. We'll be okay. So they served us some refreshment, something to eat and stuff like that. And then we were getting ready to kind of prepare ourselves for the 14-hour trip. And sure enough, about 2 hours into the trip, the storm struck. And there we are. If you can get your geography, there is no place to land between there and here. And the plane is shaken, and the stuff is falling, and things are coming down. And I mean, this is really, really bad. I was repenting. They were repenting. Now you're thinking about, I'm repenting about the stuff that I did. No, I was repenting about the stuff I was going to do. I mean, I was cleaning my slate clean. I was getting my life together because I just knew this is it. I mean, the whole thing is just going like that. Flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. And after looked like an eternity, the captain comes on the intercom. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I've tried my best. I've tried to go over the storm. I've tried to go under the storm, but there's nowhere to go." So he said, "Keep your seat belts on and let's just ride it out." I've got a word for you. You might be in the middle of the storm and you tried to go high and you tried to go low. You tried to go around it. You tried to go everywhere except through it. And I'm here to say that God is saying to you, just fasten your seat belts and just ride it out. Fasten your seat belts and just ride it out. Fasten your seat belts and just ride it out. Somebody yell out, "Ride it out." In the story that I just read for you, there is Peter. He's in the middle of a mess. We have talked about him from all kinds of different ways. But tonight, I just want to give you 5 lessons that I learned in the middle of the storm. Lesson number one. Lesson number one is found in verse 22. And it says to the, in the scriptures, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side." Principle number one is your obedience can put you in your storm. Your what? Your obedience can put you in the storm. Now, when the scriptures say that he constrained them, constraints mean that somebody does not want to do something and you make them do that. How many of you got children that you have to ask them to clean their room, carry out their mess? You understand the word constrain now, right? I mean, how many of you got some very sick child at home? I'm talking about sick in the head. No. I haven't even given the context for it. You all are raising your hands already. Such sick children that if you ask them, you say, "Go to your room and clean your room," and they get up immediately from where they're at and never have to be asked twice and go to the room and straighten it out. Do we have any sick parents with sick children like that? I'm talking about somebody who has to constrain you. Constraining means you are forced to do something. I'm here to tell you that the disciples were in a storm, not because they did something bad, not because they were rebellious, not because there was sin in their life, not because they were doing something wrong. They were in the middle of the storm because they just obeyed what Jesus was telling them to do. Some of your obedience has put you in the middle of the storm. Some of your storms are customized with your name on it. Now, why am I saying that to you? Because you see, as soon as you get in the middle of the storm, we say it's the devil. You know, the Flip Wilson theology. The devil made me do it. But I have lived long enough to know this, that if you are courageous enough, and obedient to what he calls you to do, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. It's not always going to be blue skies and 72 degrees and no cloud in the sky. From time to time, you're going to find yourself in the middle of a storm. At that time, because you know you're obedient, because you know you love him, because you know he loves you, hear the words of the captain one more time. Take your seat belts, buckle it on, and let's just write it out. Because your obedience can put you in the middle of the storm. Lesson number two is found in verse 24 through 27. But straightway the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, from the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out. But straightway Jesus spake unto them. Here's the lesson. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Lesson number two is, the Lord will meet you in the storm. The Lord will do what? Meet you in the storm. One of the best places to meet the Lord is when you are going through the middle of a storm. You see, never waste a crisis. Now, God does his stuff differently. In our schools, in our educational system, I go to school, they give me a lesson, and then they give me a test. Lesson first, test next. Because he has not been to our universities and our colleges and obviously does not understand education. He gives us the test first. And says, so what is the lesson? God has been playing Jeopardy for a long time. He will meet you in the middle of the storm. And in the middle of the storm, this is what he says to us in verse 27. Be of good cheer, number one. It is I, number two. Be not afraid, number three. Everyone together. One, two, three. It is I. No, sorry. Let's start with the first one. Be of good. It is. Be not. Let's say it again. Be of good. It is. Be not. Let's break that down. Be of good cheer. He's saying to them, the word cheer is keep a good attitude. Keep a what? Good. You see what happens is, as soon as storms come in our life, we cop ourselves an attitude. No. Bad attitudes. Can I talk about bad attitudes are like bad breath. Everybody else knows it. Except you. Don't you hate it when the preacher says, turn to your neighbor and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You look beautiful. Attitudes. You see, when stuff happens in your life and you're going through a storm, mind your attitude. The first thing Jesus looks at them and says, you are in the storm, but be of good cheer. And then number two, he reminds them, it is I. Oh, I wanted to know, he will meet you in the storm and remind you that he is there, right there with you. In the hospital, he's with you. In the traffic, he's with you. On the job, he's with you. When you don't have a job, he's with you. When you got money, he's with you. When you don't have money, with you. When you're employed, he's with you. When you have no job, he's with you. He's with you at all times. That's why I said, I will never leave you. 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 Everyone yell out, never. Never. Be of good cheer. It is I. And then he says, don't be afraid. Easy for you to say. Because as you are slipping and sliding on the water, we think we're going to drown. And we don't even know it is you. We think it's a ghost. We think it's a spirit. He said, but don't be afraid. I want to hear the words of the captain on the intercom one more time. Fasten your seatbelts and just ride it out. That's what Jesus is saying to them, because he will meet you in the middle of your storm. The greatest appointments that God has kept with me are not when things were going well. How many of you would say that he speaks loudest to us in the middle of the storm? Oh boy, he's got a full attention at that time. I want you to know, when that plane was doing this number, I was praying like I've never prayed before. I didn't need no praise and worship leader to say to me, lift your hands to the Lord, give him some glory. Come on, come on, come on. Hey, come on. Like Pastor Dave was saying, I know you're very sophisticated. I want you to know, when the storm was on, there was no sophistication. There was no dignity. There was no shame. Everybody's looking at each other like, I am scared. I need to change my underwear. Because once we came out of the storm, there was a long line. But then there's a third lesson. Lesson number 3 is found in verse 28 and 29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Lesson number 3 is, your storm will show you who your friends are. Your storms will show you who your friends are. Now, I got to let me tell you who's in the boat with them. Some of his business partners are in the boat. Peter is there. His business partners are James and John. You remember that story? His business partners are in the boat. His relatives are in the boat. His brother Andrew is in the boat. People with money are in the boat. Judas is in the boat. And what these boat people are trying to do is not offer him any assistance. Do you notice any of them saying to him, hey, whoa, Peter, where you going? I don't know which one of us is going to go with you, but you ain't going by yourself. But you know what people do, boat people do? Boat people have what I call a boat mentality. And boat people have some what I call boat talk. Because when Jesus is calling you, they're going to say to you, crazy. Oh, why do you go to that church? Why would you want to give your money? Why would you want to tithe? Why don't you understand you can't do all that stuff. Or if they are really church folk, they'll say things like, have you prayed about it? Because that makes it so sanctimonious. But you see, I'd much rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat person. I'd much rather say, I will come to you. Because this is what I've learned. That when you are going to where Jesus is calling, you'll have to turn your back on a few people and step out of the boat and go to Jesus. There's some people you got to be willing to leave behind to go to where Jesus. Listen, not everybody's going to take the trip with you. Not everybody's going to be obedient. Everybody saw the same thing, heard the same thing. But you said to yourself, call me. I'm willing to walk out of this boat. And he said, come on. And you did your thing. And you want others to come with you. Forget about the others. Make up your mind that he is calling you. And you're going to leave them behind to go where Jesus is calling. Make up your mind that you will keep your eyes on Jesus. But then there's a fourth lesson found in verse 30. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lesson number 4 is, the Lord will show you who you are in the storm. When I got on that flight, my hosts had paid for a first class ticket for me. I thought I was all that. Because the It was not a seat. That seat would lay out into a flat bed. Had pillows, blankets. The flight attendants in our area were the top of the class. I mean, we were going to get food that those people in the back were not going to get. We felt like, hey, you know, we got it going on. But when the storm came, it didn't matter if they had seats or beds. It didn't matter if they were in the back or the front. When the storm came, all of us were. Because in the middle of the storm, you find out who you are. Because when it, the three words in there says, Lord, save me, in the Greek, that is in the extreme passive voice. Extreme passive voice is a grammatical term to let us understand that Peter had tried everything before he cried out to Jesus. Now, you know Peter's story. His daddy was a fisherman. He was a fisherman. His granddaddy was a fisherman. They lived in a fishing village. Everything. I mean, water was not something he was scared of. He grew up on the water. He knew how to swim. So when he started going down, he tried the stroke and the breaststroke and the backstroke and, like me, just thrashing in the water stroke. He tried everything. And when nothing else could help him, now he cries out saying, Lord, save me. See, that's us. When nothing else helps us, then we cry out to the Lord. And this is what I've learned. People who have tried, who have time to pray long prayers, ain't no house on fire. The bigger the problem, the shorter the prayer. Give you an example. Imagine for a minute you are drowning. You're drowning, sinking to rise no more. I'm talking about you're drowning. You're dying. Now, what's going to be a prayer? Oh God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was, is, and shall be, hallowed be thy name. Thou knowest that I drownest. Throw at me a ropeth, so I shall liveth. Oh no. There is no dear Jesus. And there's no amen. I got a four-letter prayer. H-E-L-P. Help! That's what our prayer comes down to. In the middle of the storm, you don't have time to fix it for Jesus. You don't have time to style and profile. You have to remind him as to who you are and how long you've been saved and all that you have done. Now, you know, people say, well, you got to remind God. I ain't got time to remind him of nothing. I'm dying. I don't have time to quote scriptures. I don't have time to show him an ID card from the Rock Church. I don't have time to show him my tithing record. In case you don't have a tithing record, no need praying. He only answers paying customers. From what Pastor Cobre told us this morning, that only 7% of the Rock Church tithes, that means 93% of you quit praying. There is an admission fee. You just don't walk into the movie house saying, you know, my name is. Oh no, you gotta pay for it. Membership has its privileges. So when you are drowning, he goes through his book real quickly saying, don't see him. Go ahead, go on, go on, go on. You ain't no good to me anyhow, go on. Because your storm will show you who you are. But then lesson number 5.
So glad this is the last service. Lesson number 5. It has been going downhill all day. Lesson number 5. Verse 31 through 33. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when, you got to get this, verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind did what? Ceased. Verse 33. Then, everyone said then. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Verse 32 is where I want to park for a second. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Pastor Dan, can you come up here real quick? I know you are texting somebody, but... I'm sorry. Leave him alone. I love you, man. Let me get my composure back on, you know. I have such little anointing to begin with. And then just going to... Come back, Holy Spirit. Come back. It's all right. So there is Peter. Here's my question for you. How far... Sorry, that is Jesus. I'll make myself Peter. How far did Peter walk? I don't know. He don't know. But let's work with the information we do have. It gives some clues. It says to us that he was far enough that they could not see him clearly. Correct? He is hazy. He's out of focus. They're saying, if it is you, they thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a spirit. So he is far enough that they could not see him in the middle of the storm. But he is close enough that they can talk to each other. Far enough that you cannot see him, but close enough that you can hear him say to you, oh, before I go any further, I want to say something to you. There'll be times you can see him, but you can still hear him. Or never stop listening to what he is saying. So there is Jesus. And I make my way quite a few steps. Because you see, the Sunday school stories we have heard is he steps out of the boat. And next thing you know, he starts sinking. If he was that close, he could have... Or somebody could have thrown him something. So he is far enough. But then verse 32 says, and there's the boat. That as we came back to the boat, the storm ceased. Come back here. Now. What was going on is, the storm is still going on as they're making their way back to the boat. What we do is we think that he's got to stop the storm before we can get to the boat. I'm here to tell you, a storm could be going on over here, but God is doing a work in your life at the same time. Storm, stop it. Listen to me. Storm stoppage is not a prerequisite for him to do what he wants to do. The doctor can be giving his diagnosis, but God is doing his healing at the same time. The bank can be saying, I'm going to foreclose on your home, but God is supplying your need at the same time. There could be storm and peace at the same time. Because if we are waiting to praise God like that, verse 33 says to us, then they that were in the boat did what? Worship. See, boat people will worship him once they have seen the evidence of the storm stoppage. But I need some storm praisers in this place tonight who will say, I'm not going to wait for the storm to go away. I'm not going to wait for the storm to stop. In the middle of the storm, I'm going to throw up my hands and say, you're a good God. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You've been so good to me. I love you, Lord. In the middle of the storm. But then I have another question for you. You're Peter now.
How did they come back to the boat? Do you think that he kind of drug him through the water? Oh no. The waves are going on. The boat is there. They walked right back to the boat on top of the waves. I want to know, he'll make a way for you in the middle of the ocean. Thank you. He'll make a way for you in the middle of the storm. He'll make a way for you while the waves are still going on. You gotta say to yourself, we don't live by sight, we live by faith. I must see the waves, but I'm not scared anymore, because Jesus got a hold of my hand. See, the good news is not that you got a hold of his hand, but that he's got a hold of your hand. Some of you are going through some horrendous storms. Some of you are going through some storms in your life that makes no sense, because you are still being obedient and courageous and hearing what God is saying. And in the middle of what God is saying to you, you are experiencing storms in your life. I want you to know that he's going to extend his hand to you. And while others might be laughing at you, in the middle of laughter, he's going to walk right back into the boat and say to you, I am faithful, I am faithful, I am faithful, I am faithful. You can count on me in the middle of the storm. See, anybody can worship him when you got money in your pocket. But somebody ought to say, my money in my pocket is not what brought me here. What brought me here is the faithfulness, the trustworthiness, the dependability, the credibility of God himself. Anybody can worship him when they're feeling good, when they got a job, when they got a house, when they got a car. But somebody ought to say to yourself, does not matter what I have, does not matter what I don't have, I will still worship the King of Kings. I will still worship the Lord of Lords. He's still my Savior. He's still my Redeemer. He's still the King of Kings. He's my everything. I'm not going to wait. Not going to wait. No, 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 no. I'm not going to wait for it to be over in the middle of the storm. I'm going to high step it. I'm going to make my way all the way through the middle of the storm. I'm not going to let the storm stop me. I'm going to make my way in the middle of the storm. So somebody ought to hear the captain one more time. Fasten your seatbelts and just ride it out. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. You're a faithful God. You are a faithful God. Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. And now, Lord, as we pray for sisters and brothers who are going through some stormy stuff in their life, you will do what you've always done. Meet us in the middle of the storm and bring us safely back home. In Jesus' name. Please stand with me. Everyone standing. Everyone standing. Everyone standing. Please stand with me. You're here this evening. You say, Sam, I heard the word. I heard the word. I heard the word. I heard the word. Took notes. Got all the 5 points down. All the sub-points down. Yeah, I got that. But I'm going through storms tonight. It could be in your physical body. It could be in your finances, your job, your walk with the Lord, your relationships. Regardless, you're going through some storms in your life. I want you to know, he's standing up in the middle of the storm saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. He's saying to you what the captain said. Fasten your seat belts. Let's just ride it out. You're going through those stormy times in your life. I'm going to pray with you. So if you will leave your seat and meet me right here real quickly, I want to pray with you. You're going through stuff in your life? Just come on down. Come real quickly though. Don't move slowly. Come quickly. Come quickly. All the way across these altars. Come real quickly. Come real quickly. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come real quickly. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'll wait for you. I see you coming. I see you coming. I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Come on, come on, come on.
Keep coming, keep coming. Keep coming. Let me talk to you just for a second. You need to understand that nobody is exempt from storms. You need to know that. And you need to know that how you behave yourself in the middle of the storm will tell what else he's got planned for you. Because see, he was preparing Peter for something much bigger than walking on water. He was preparing Peter for the day of Pentecost. When he would preach the first sermon of the first day of the opening church, the grand opening of the church. When he'd give the first altar call and 3,000 people get saved. He was preparing him something big. But he put him through the storm so he could test him. You know, when you go and buy a car, you get a warranty, right? Now, I want you to know that nobody's sitting in some car factory and saying, let's put a sticker on it. Good for 3 years. Yeah, let's put a sticker on for 5 years. Oh, no. Before they give you a warranty, guess what they've done to the car? They put it through its paces. They put it through the factory. They made it run in hot and cold. They made it run in sun and water. It's all simulated inside this factory, but they put it through the test so that the automaker can then put a warranty on it. Say 5 years or 100,000 miles. Because they put it through the test. I want you to know that that is what God does with our life. He puts you through the test and then puts a sticker on you. Good for life. 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 You know, when we get to heaven, Peter is going to have a special talk with all the preachers. You're going to stand them all up in a line, all those who have dogged Peter over this. All these years. He's going to stand them all up in a line and say, I just got one question to ask you, pastor, reverend, elder, minister, whatever you want to call yourself, apostle, doctor. Here's my question for you, all you preachers. Which one of you has ever walked on water? So stop dogging Peter. He's got bragging rights that nobody else has. I want you to know that your test is giving you bragging rights that nobody else has. Because you can say, you should have seen what I was going through, but he stretched out his hand in the middle of the storm and I walked my way back into it. Oh yes, somebody will say, God is giving me bragging rights for what I'm going through. He's going to do something huge in my life. Lift your hands all over this building, all over this building. Father, right now, I pray for every sister, every brother whose hand is lifted up. And Lord, I pray in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, that you'll meet them in the middle of the storm. You have called them. And in the middle of the storm, let them feel your grip on their hand. And let them see themselves walking back to the boat. Not after the storm has stopped, but in the middle of the storm. So Lord, we do what the captain said on my airplane. We fasten our seat belts and we're just going to ride it out. And you're going to give us strength in the middle of our riding it out. You are there with us every step of the way. So I pray for every sister, every brother who is going through these stormy times in their life, that they will remain faithful, true, and most of all know that he who has called you out of the boat has plans to bring you back to the boat. Because you took a courageous step, he is going to honor and celebrate your courage. So Lord, because you are a prayer answering God, and because you always have a grip on our life and our hands, we put our hands together and give you praise in this place. We give you glory in this place. We give you honor in this place. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.